was true if I came across constant signs that she had to feel for that. Absolutely no need for divine intervention. They need no need for a Savior to come to them. They can take care of it themselves. All you have to do is take down 6 feet anywhere in the Holy Land. You're going to come across some Roman fortress that was built in order to tell people, I don't need anything from you. As a matter of fact, you need to fear me. Every room that we came across, every room, especially the area. How many on our trip got sick of hearing about King Herod? Holy cow. Talk about somebody who had no need. No need for God. No need for the Savior. No need for the people to believe in him. We visited two of his three fortresses. Herod had absolutely no need. And when you have no need, then you may think you're believing for the Messiah. But it's all false. If we have no need, we may think we're worshiping God, but it's all a facade. If we approach Him with one sliver of our own righteousness, it is all a facade. We have to be needy. Blessed are the needy. Remember? Poor in spirit. Mourning. Meek. Hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Those are all people in need of something. Poor God, no problem holding out an empty hand. No problem. The poor have no problem with this message because they've held out an empty hand all their lives. They've relied on someone else to take them through the day their entire lives. So when Jesus comes to the poor, they listen. They worship because they understand their need. So you think every time that we come around to Christmas and you think of the Messiah, you think of the approaching of the Messiah, you know, 6 to 10,000 years of prophecy and prayer and promises and dreams to millions of God's people about the Messiah. And when he comes, who are the only ones that know? Who are the only ones that recognize him? An old couple called to give birth to the Messiah's way later. That's what John said he was. I'm here to pave the way. A poor carpenter and his teenage fiance, a group of nameless shepherds, three foreign astrologers, a crazy old man, and a crazy old lady. That's it. What happened to God's people? They couldn't dream of what the Messiah was. They could study about the Messiah. They knew exactly where and when. They knew everything about it, except that when it comes, they don't know him. What happened to God's people except for this group of ragtag, poor people, but people in need? Michael Card, in his song, The Promise, has this refrain in it. For 1,000 years, the dreamers dreamt that they would see his love. But the promise showed them why would you dream? Simply not been wild enough. The Messiah is a dream beyond our wildest dream. But completely within grasp, completely, if we would dream that day, if we would dream that wild, the only way that we dream that wild is if we approach Him in need. Dreamers need their dreams fulfilled. Dreamers constantly dream for that dream to be completely fulfilled. But by the time this dream is fulfilled, they quit dreaming wildly. have flesh. God's people feel no need, for they think they find life where? In self. In their own worship, in their own prayer life, in their own study, in their own walk, they think that they find worship in that. They find self-ability to recognize the time, self-ability to no longer sin, self-ability to decide for the truth for themselves and everyone else, by the way. You have to ask, so few were looking, were they really honestly looking? I'd say yes, they were, but they were looking for the wrong one. Are you the one? They would ask. The problem was who they were looking for. The Talmud says that if all of Israel would keep the law perfectly for one day, Messiah would come. We kind of have a correlation with that, don't we? In our church, if we all reproduce the character of Christ in just one day, Messiah would come. So they're looking for righteousness. They believe that their own righteousness can actually bring about the coming of the Messiah. They were dedicated in such boldness that would bring that about. They might have thought that they could actually bring the Messiah with their perceived holiness. The Pharisees are dedicated to holiness. The problem was this holiness. This is the problem. The problem was the holiness, not the lack of holiness. Because it wasn't God. It wasn't brought about by faith. It's brought about by understanding the letter of the law, and that's as far as it would go. Those people feel condemned constantly because they relate to God by the letter of the law, and the law is only there to condemn. It can do nothing else. God is actually asking for a living faith. He's asking for faith in a man who has the law written on his heart. And has promised deliverance from their sin, has promised deliverance from that slavery, and has promised us that one day he will give us the right nature back. That we'll get to love thy nature again. Then in truth, we'll fill in the law and the prophets by loving thy neighbor as thyself. They felt no need for salvation. They had become too holy for it. Their definition of holy. If you feel no need, you cannot even imagine the Messiah. You can't dream wild enough to imagine who he really turned out to be. John tells us that he was the Word become flesh, that he was God walking around in a human body, walking and talking, the prophets of being fulfilled. The one thing that was promised our parents, Adam and Eve, was that God would walk and talk with them every day, that they would have a face-to-face relationship. And even though we fell, even though they retreat that relationship, when we cast them aside, God still offers a walking, talking relationship. This is what Messiah was supposed to be. This is what he is. But one who is too holy, one who does Rome says all taxes belong to them, Israel says, all everything belongs to God. Rome says the temple is no big deal. It should be open for the fortress and then for me higher, two-story higher than the temple itself, so that they can look down, see, to control, to live out as a people with no need. I don't need to worry about you because I am higher, I am bigger, I am more powerful. And my peace is brought about because you are scared to death of me. That was the message that Rome has for these people who worship this one living God. that they need physical deliverance from an intrinsical enemy. The spiritual problem, I got solved. I've got the temple. I've got worship. I've got study. I've got prayer on the code. I am rich and have need of nothing. God said, 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 where are you at? Come on down. What did you do? I got to do. Good and right folk don't need the deliverance of the Messiah. This condition does not allow that a can't drink wild enough. No, it's that day. Someone can lead them into battle. We can fight. We can feel we earn something. They can expect David, but not God himself. Why do I need God himself? We'll take this guy. But the baby, what's he got for him? Israel, what's wrong with this picture? Look at David. Does that look like a 12-year-old boy to you? No, even over the years, what we've done to David. David was a boy, which means, according to the law, he had to be under the age of 13. Does that look like a 13-year-old kid? No. We put him in his 20s and we put him on steroids. He's holding Goliath's sword like it's a dagger. In fact, right there, this is kind of the same size or maybe bigger than Goliath. Right? What need does that guy have to slay him? He doesn't have any need, does he? But you put a 12-year-old boy out there. Now you're talking about somebody you need, and he knew it when he said it. Who is this uncircumcised son of Jesus and God and the living God? You let him do that. In fact, they tried to put it on their own. Didn't work. So we don't even want David if we think about it. Right? Who wants a 12-year-old boy to think about it? But he did, didn't he? In fact, it got to the point where that 12 and 13 and 14-year-old kid, they have a talk to think about it. David is playing his 10,000 while his father is playing his 3,000. He's doing it while he's a kid. Why? Because he was in need. A boy is in need of something else to take on a mind and reflect on it. You with me? If the kid needs what we've done, right? We'll take this guy. But the baby, I don't need that. I've seen somebody help me with this physical enemy. Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is what? Nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. Jesus, the Son, who places himself in need of the Father. Does he need? He says he does, so I have to believe that he does. Everything he gets, he takes from the Father. He places himself in need. He condescended. He left the throne. He came down. I have heard the cries of the voice of my people, and I have come down. I stand in constant need of my Father. This is what humanity was supposed to be, in constant, constant need. Though you do not know him, why do we not know him? Because we don't need him. We haven't needed him since the garden. The problem that we have to solve is that they out 9